Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April, and in Belfast's Waterfront Studios on Saturday, the 27th of April. Tickets from venues or at mcd.ie.
Martin Foley took the opposite route with Cab. We've seen a number of people just settle with Cab or just not appear for the hearings once they fail to get legal aid. They've just handed the properties over and written it off. Like, Foley probably is the one example that they look at and think that's not the route to go, because whatever his initial bill was, it's multiplied by an incredible factor.
I'm Nicola Tallant and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. Veteran gangster Martin the Viper Foley is facing having his house repossessed to pay off a massive Criminal Assets Bureau bill, which has grown to over €700,000. The 73-year-old was hit with a tax bill from the Cab more than 20 years ago, but he only paid off a small portion of it and then challenged it through the courts. By 2020, it had quadrupled to what he currently owes, developing an impasse between him and the Bureau. Today, I'm talking to Niall Donald about a bad year for the Viper. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. The Criminal Assets Bureau doesn't take many of these revenue cases anymore. It used to in the past, I think probably when it wasn't so easy to identify the assets belonging to known criminals. Martin Foley, of course, who has 60 criminal convictions, pretty large rap sheet, was one of those that was hit with one of these bills, which was an accumulation of tax he owed, interest and penalties. So he owed tax on the kind of the money he'd made from crime. It's a very strange sort of a thing. He was ordered to pay €738,449 in tax, and he has since not paid back a single cent, yeah. Right? So that was a good few years ago now. And
It was four years ago. Yeah.
And the Criminal Assets Bureau have obviously come to a position that they don't think there's any hope in hell of Martin Foley coming up with this money. So they've gone to the civil courts. A case came before the Dublin County Register possession list on Thursday. And basically they're going after his home in an effort to identify an asset and realise the money from an asset that could help pay this bill.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you'll know well because he used to attend them, but there's Cab hearings. I think it's often on a Wednesday, and you'll see proceeds of crime, legislation, and there'll be a list of people who are brought before a court by Cab. Martin Foley wasn't on that list. Instead, he's on a list. All the other people on that list of that day, most of them are from these from the banks or from other sort of lending institutions who are basically going after the homes of people who haven't paid their bills. So you're right. We used to always, the lawyers used to say to us whenever we're doing a CAB story back in the day, they'd say, well, we can't say it's crime because was it a tax bill? Because initially when CAB started off, what they would say would be, somebody has bought a £500,000 house, for example, not talking about Foley in particular. And they'd say, well, how did this person come up with the money? And if that person said, I made that money on the horses, they'd, well, maybe not the horses, but I made that money selling paintings, for example. They'd say, well, if you made that money, you also owe tax for making that money. So that's where the tax bill came along, isn't it? So the more...
It just seems screwed up, like, you know, that you're getting a tax bill for unpaid tax on criminal enterprises.
Except for they wouldn't have to prove it was criminal enterprise.
No, of course not.
So, that was where the distinction, our lawyers used to always say to us, well, you can't say it's from criminality. It's just tax.
They've used it less and less. I mean, the other standout one for me with an outstanding bill has to be Anne Connors, the widow of the murdered fat Andy Connors. And he was actually, I think, hit initially with this revenue bill from the Criminal Assets Bureau. A number of properties were identified. He had a bit of a property portfolio, actually, particularly up around Saggart, where he owned a couple of fairly sensational looking houses. But he was given that, and on his death, that was then transferred, that bill, that demand, that revenue demand, that tax demand was transferred to his widow. Yeah. Now, she has yet to appear, and we don't know where that case is, if she's beginning to settle, if she's trying to pay it up. We'll have a little look into that. But this Foley case has appeared before the Courty Dawlig, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a sort of a civil...
It's where the banks go and
The vulture funds those types of organizations, those mortgage lending companies, some of them have been by these mass debts from people who haven't paid their mortgages, and then they begin repossession proceedings. So Martin Foley, his name would stand out on a court list like that. He appeared last week. He wasn't there personally, but there was
He had representatives there
and representatives who said he was going to file an affidavit about the property. So it's at the very early stages. These things tend to take a long time, as you know.
These properties tend to, you know, not be in the name of the individual.
Yeah, but I think in this case it is, isn't it?
Foley's married again to his wife.
Sonia.
Sonia, yes. And they have a child. More recently, and we found it very curious, he has been showing up at doorsteps of people who are accused of owing money to individuals, along with a man by the name of Jonathan Gill, who is also known.
He was also a subject of proceedings from the Criminal Assets Bureau. He spoke to me about it and said that was in the past, and he became a mediator, he described himself as, in order to help pay off that bill to CAB. Jonathan Gill probably would be better known to people from the fact he was charged with a tiger kidnapping. A null prosequi was entered by the state and he walked out a free man. So Martin Foley, it's not just in the case with Jonathan Gill. He's popped up all over the country.
Collecting debts. And we have worked out that he's not earning very much money for doing that. Certainly, an hourly rate or a weekly rate, or he certainly doesn't appear to be pulling in a healthy wage. So therefore, that makes it evident that having a tax bill of 700 and whatever I said it was, I mean, it's very hard to come up with that kind of money.
Absolutely.
The best of times.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not Martin Foley, whatever he was up to back in the day and whatever access he had to funds, those days are, by all accounts, long gone. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Foley's old school, and he's an agitator, and he's also someone who defends his corner. I mean, he was part of the General's gang in his day, and at the time that the General was running rings around the Gardaí and Mickey Mouse underpants and, you know, making fools of them, Foley was also a bit of an anarchist against the state. He often showed up masked for interviews. He would have sort of you know, identified himself as being a member of these, you know, concerned criminals against parents, against drugs or something. I think there was some other organization he claimed he was part of, which was like, you know, possibly concerned criminals against prison officers or something like this.
Yeah, I mean,
he spoke out. He was a bit of a mouth, you know.
Bit of a mouth, probably egged on by Martin Cahill, who you know, was inventive to say the least. I mean, what had happened was that Foley had been blamed by people for being involved in the drugs trade, which he probably wasn't at that stage, in fairness. And because he'd been targeted by concerned, I think it was a group called something like Concerned Parents Against Drugs, he'd set up concerned criminals to highlight that he wasn't, because he did fall foul of the IRA, of course, and they did abduct him at one stage, and he was lucky to escape with his life. One of many occasions when he had a miraculous you know, he's been shot. I think it's 14 bullets have hit his body, and he somehow managed to survive. The case,
the case goes back to the 1990s.
It goes back to 1990s.
That's when he was given the bill. I mean, we spoke about 4 years ago. That was when he exhausted any appeals and Supreme Courts and whatever else he did. He did a little bit of a John Gilligan on it.
He did a John Gilligan, absolutely. I mean, and you look at the wisdom of, I think we discussed recently, there'd be people like Barry Young who are rolling over, really, and pleading guilty early and quickly and getting it all done with. You know, Martin Foley took the opposite route with Cab. We've seen a number of people just settle with Cab or just not appear for the hearings once they fail to get legal aid. They've just handed the properties over and written it off. Like Foley probably is the one example that they look at and think that's not the route to go. Because whatever his initial bill was, it's multiplied by an incredible factor.
I'm going to give you the details on that for the you know, to be accurate.
Yeah.
So it was in 2020 that the Supreme Court ruled that he'd have to pay the cab tax and interest bill, which by that point had ballooned to the €738,000. And it was for the years 93 and 94 only.
Yeah.
Oh, and 99 and 2000. So just 2 years, 93 to 94, 99 to 2000. At that point, the original bill was for $218,000. That was the tax assessment bill for those 2 years. And he had made payments totaling $40,000, which reduced that original bill to $178,000. But in February 2002, he started these appeals against the assessment, the first one being rejected. And as the kind of the years grew over the next 11 years, that bill ballooned because of the interest and penalties. So he's obviously objecting to this. He has, you know, gone to the Court of Appeal. He's gone to the Supreme Court. They've both said that there's no case and dismissed his appeals. But he's nonetheless not happy with handing over 700,000.
No, he's not. I mean, it shows you the risk that involves initiating these court proceedings. So he's obviously, that's ballooned three or four times to what his original payment was. So the real problem for Martin Foley is that he has an asset. I mean, he's lived in that house in Crumlin for a long time at this stage.
Yes, before I think he was with his current
partner. Yeah, his previous wife died of natural causes. He's started a new relationship and a new family. Sonia, his wife, has been a director of one of his Viper debt recovery companies, but he probably owns that house and that's an asset. So other people, when they run up these massive court bills, if they have no assets, there's really nothing to get. And so the lawyers, sometimes they just ultimately have to write it off. You can't get blood out of a stone. Unfortunately for Martin Foley, he has a big rock
there. There's blood in the stone, isn't there?
There is. In this case, there's a rock. There's an asset. There's an asset there. He probably owns that over the years. I don't actually know that in particular. But those houses are worth quite a lot of money now in Crumlin.
Yeah.
And Crumlin is in central Dublin. It's a much, you know, very popular location now. I actually know a few people living not far from Martin Foley who've spent huge amounts of money on houses, the exact same type. So That is what
it's worth
facing.
A lot. It's probably worth about half a million, is it?
Well, probably a bit less than that. I don't actually know, but still worth a good...
They haven't had a good run of it, himself and Sonia. In January, the High Court struck out a claim that they had against the former Dublin City Sheriff and the state following the cab raid on their house 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They said there was a breach of privacy when the home was searched in 2014 as members of the media had arrived and pitched up outside.
Yeah.
They claimed various rights, including their right to privacy and data protection, et cetera, et cetera. But the claims were struck out in January. They had obviously hoped to get some compensation in relation to that. Now, perhaps they had hoped to get compensation from the state to pay back the state.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
Look, there's one way to run up debts is through various types of criminality, but nothing compares to running up debts in the court.
I know, that's the thing. And I mean, I actually, I don't envy Foley and the wife facing into this because if there's anything that's really going to stress you out, it's court proceedings. And they are hanging over you no matter what. You can't run away from them.
No.
And the thoughts of being put out of your family home must weigh heavily.
It must.
At night with a young family.
And he's a pensioner now at this stage, you know.
Unless he can whip an old Vermeer out from behind a radiator or something in his house. Because, of course, there's always been that little whiff of sulfur about Foley.
Is he involved
in the Rusborough House robberies. And then, you know, he has, in the past... supposedly suggested that he knows where some of those masters lie, and maybe he might be able to.
Was he not suing the BBC over that though as well?
Well, he was suing the BBC, and then he wasn't suing the BBC. And I mean, he's just not had much luck, really, has he?
No. I mean, the problem, the courts are, however relentless the Kinahan cartel are, they actually do get distracted and move on.
Who, the Kinahans?
Yeah, because they tried to shoot Foley a couple of times, but they've probably given up now and moved on. But if you think the courts are going to give up on you...
Yeah, they don't.
And they don't.
It's all that. I mean, oh God, you know, have to be in court on April the 6th or whatever, and then just that sick feeling of what's going to happen, where's it going to go? And then you probably go in and it's adjourned because somebody doesn't show up or a solicitor has COVID or whatever.
Yeah, however, you still get 10 grand added to your bill when the solicitor doesn't turn up, so it must be...
So are we feeling sorry for Foley here?
I don't know if we feel sorry for him, but we're taking a life lesson from Martin Foley.
I've no doubt. And, you know, it's interesting the way the CAB are constantly developing the Criminal Assets Bureau and how they're coming up all the time with new ways to go after things. And this is... Now, Courtney Dolig and this court... I have once before in my memory been there in regard to a CAB proceedings I was following, and it involved Stephen Kearney, who was a long-term associate of George the Penguin Mitchell, and the Criminal Assets Bureau had issued him, possibly with revenue proceedings in that case as well. And he had a house in Ratoath that they were
seeking.
I thought the banks had seized it Maybe they had seized it and given it to the banks, and the banks couldn't evict him, or he wasn't leaving it anyway, himself and his daughter. I think one of his daughters was claiming residency there, that she was living in it. She was a single mother with a child. It was the most confusing court I've ever been in because, you know, what may seem obvious, but there's no juries in these civil courts, same as the High Court, there's no juries there, and there's no juries in the Special Criminal Court. And as a result, the lawyers and the judges can talk their legal jargon without having to sort of simplify it or explain it for anybody who is worth explaining it for. So you're standing there going, what just happened?
Yeah.
Is that over? What date? I mean, it's who covered this, Alan? Sherry
did,
good luck to him. He did well to make sense of it. And is he going to onwards follow
it? Well, I mean,
it's been adjourned, I presume.
It's only at a very big early stage, I think, at this stage. But
those
cases are hard to fight on emotional terms.
There's no emotional terms with
No. And, you know,
it'll be all about the legal ownership. It'll be all about his relationship, his marriage to his wife, what percentage she's going to claim of that house. You know, that's what it'll all be.
Yeah.
It'll be all argued out. I imagine that, you know, if you're somebody like Foley in that position, it's probably better off to come to the table and to try and come up with some sort of settlement and
very hard to come up with 700,000 though.
If Martin Foley wants my advice, he can phone me on the side and I'll give it to him.
Yes.
But I'm sure actually Jonathan Gill could advise him better than I ever could. So, right, let's come back to that and see how Mr. Foley and his wife Sonia get on with holding on to their house.
Very good.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.